the shadows you can hear the sounds. The rumble of 100 hellhounds. Cries of the banshee, terror of the wendigo. You all they can't see, they just know where to go. It's the creature.
Whoa.
It's the creature.
Whoa.
It's the creatures from the supernatural.
Welcome back to the Supernatural Creatures and Lore podcast. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mel Heflin, his co-host.
And we are returning nearing the end of the podcast, too, because we have pretty much run the gambit of almost every creature that's been on Supernatural. It's the 20th anniversary of Supernatural this year, which is kind of weird considering the show only ended like 5 years ago. But the Supernatural timeline gets an expanded universe edition with comic books returning for Supernatural. There haven't been comic books since the Wildstorm days. The last comic book series came out during DC's New 52 in 2011-2012. It was a 6-issue series, just standalone titled Supernatural. The other ones were like prequels, so they were like more John Winchester stories. But this one is going to be set with the boys. There's no word yet on when in the 15 years it's going to take place. But there is a brand new Supernatural comic book series coming from Dynamite Entertainment, and it starts in October.
Wow.
I know Clayton Crane is doing covers, and then the rest of the team escapes me right at the moment. But yeah, there's a Supernatural comic book series coming.
Amazing.
There's a Soldier Boy movie coming out also. Did you know about this?
I did. I did see about that. I've been trying to catch up with the boys ever since.
It's going to be the origin of Vought, which is the company that funds the Seven.
Yeah.
Alexa, disconnect from TV.
Now disconnected from Chris's TV.
So Vought is the company that funds the Seven, which is the team Homelander's on, played by Anthony Starr. And then... So Jensen Ackles is going to be on that, and Jared Padalecki is going to be on in that movie as well.
Love that. Love to see them returning on screen.
On what character he's playing. I know Jim Beaver is returning for the boys again, and because Eric Kripke is the showrunner. In the final season, the boys is coming. But also, Jensen is on a TV show called Countdown right now.
Huh.
He plays a cop who has brain cancer.
Wow.
Each officer of this police force has a different undercover specialty, and they come together when they find out there's like a terrorist plot line with a bomb. So it's your typical kind of cop show, you know?
Yeah.
But, he's on a lot of the marketing for it, including the thumbnail on Prime. So I'm about 4 episodes in. I've enjoyed it.
Nice.
But the Vought movie is going to be the Soldier Boy origin story. So. And why Soldier Boy was put on ice.
I look forward to checking that one out.
What episode of Supernatural are we checking out on this podcast?
Today we are going over Just My Imagination. And this is the 8th episode of season 11. It originally aired December 2nd, 2015. Our synopsis is, Sam is shocked when his childhood imaginary friend Sully, guest star Nate Lawrence, Torrance, makes an unexpected appearance. Sam can't understand why he'd see Sully now, but what's even more surprising is that Dean can see him too. Flashbacks reveal that young Sam's friendship with Sully and why he needed him.
I never had an imaginary friend growing up, not that I'm aware of. Did you?
I did not. I really tried at one point, I think, but maybe I wasn't that creative.
Or they just didn't find you interesting enough to be your friend.
Yeah, that's probably more like it.
What was the movie that came out last year, directed by John Krasinski and starring Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, gosh.
And also starred Steve Carell, because it was a big reunion between Steve Carell and John Krasinski. That was the big thing Steve Carell was pointing out, saying, like, this is our reunion. Now I work for John. Before we were, co-workers on The Office. And John is my boss. He was making a big boy. Like, I listen to John. John takes, gives us the orders. I make sure John gets the best out of me. Like he really made sure that, like, because he's older than John Krasinski, like he felt like he brought John Krasinski up on the office, and now he is the man in charge because he's this big time director.
That movie was called If.
Yes, it was about imaginary friends,
Huh.
how they help kids deal with their trauma, particularly like the main character, the little girl in this, which is her imaginary friend, I think, is like Ryan Reynolds' character. Her mother is dying. Her father is pretty absent from the situation. Her mother is dead, I think.
Wow.
And written by John Krasinski, directed by John Krasinski. But yeah, it's all about imaginary friends. And then there was like another movie that came out the exact same year, Imaginary, and that was a horror movie.
That's the one I was originally thinking. I was like, is it imaginary? Am I making
Yeah, there was a
that
Blumhouse movie. It was like, I think, a Blumhouse film. It got trashed in the ratings. It was a supernatural horror movie written by Jeff Wadlow, written by Wadlow, and there was like a teddy bear that the little girl was seeing, but it wasn't actually there. Cool
Oh,
poster
okay, I
marketing
see.
art with like the po with the with the bear. The shadow of the bear was this terrifying image.
It's such a cool poster.
Again, it was like a very mixed bag. I thought it was okay, but it's not well loved. But
Looks like something
so I
I'd
guess,
love, but
yeah, so I guess these were all Zannies as well, Zannas in their own way. They have powers and abilities on the TV show, like empathy, invisibility, teleportation, telepathy, spell casting, basically pretty much whatever you want them to be.
It's super cool. I actually really like the way that Supernatural portrayed the Zana. But in Romanian folklore, Zana are creatures who guide and protect lost children. Zana intentionally appear as a figment of a child's imagination, allowing the child to move with confidence once the guidance is no longer needed.
Yes, but in real life, do we have any real life lore on imaginary friends?
Yes, absolutely. Primarily Romanian and Albanian. I found a lot of reference to Greek, but I couldn't find anything like solid in Greek references. They said that it's similar to like Germanic elves. I'm not entirely sure about that, but specifically, it says that Zana also has a similar structure to words in Arabic, which is Jean. In some of the lore, they say that it's very similar to Djinn or Jinn. The primary meaning to that of that is to hide. So there's some similarities there. The Zana being invisible except to the people that they are appearing to, and Jinn appearing out of seemingly nowhere. But I couldn't find any heavy references on that. In back to the Albanian and Romanian folklore, they are believed to be more like fairies or guardian angels, and they are pretty much always benevolent creatures who are guiding lost children and bestowing gifts like beauty and luck, but they will also curse wrongdoers. Funnily enough, my husband last night was playing some games with some of our Albanian friends, and I was texting him, and I was like, "Hey, I have a podcast tomorrow morning that the folklore takes place in Albania. Would you mind asking them about Zana?" And apparently, they were like, "What? Zana? How's your wife know?" It was very cute, but pretty much, I got confirmed everything that I was going over, and they related Zana to the little angel and the devil over your shoulders. Apparently, in their folklore, they consider those to be like Zana, like the conscience. I found that absolutely fascinating.
I guess that is a, yeah, I guess that would be the definition of that. I never even thought of that connection.
Right, same. But I found that absolutely fascinating when they brought that up, because I didn't see a connection there either. They did say that there's a ton of Zana stories and that it is a very broad term.
In what way?
Like, this it would be very similar to like how we call fairies. Fairies is a generally very broad term. You don't just think of Tinkerbell whenever we think of fairies. We also think of the Tooth Fairy. I don't want to throw elves in, but it's broader than just imaginary friends. Now it's less compartmentalized than what we do. I was really hoping to collect a Zana story, but I was able to find one online. It's called Empowering the Hero Muji. In the Albanian epic cycle, Song of Heroes, the Zana plays a crucial role to the story of the hero Muji. A young boy, Muji, was breastfeeding from a Zana, which granted him special superhuman strength and courage. In one story from the cycle, the Zana issues a call to arms to avenge the murder of the maiden named Tringa.
I think only four appear in this episode: Selly, Sparkle, Nikki, Mermaid, and Weems. They had, of course, get a mermaid in there.
Of course.
The main Zana that is Sam's, who he hasn't seen in a long time. Sparkle also had the probably the most unique looking design because he was like some kind of like sparkle fairy looking unicorn of some kind.
He's really cool.
But the main one was Sully, played by Nate Torrance. I had recognized him immediately, and I was just like, the hell did I see this guy in before? He was in Get Smart. He was the voice of Clawhauser in Zootopia.
Oh, gotcha.
So I don't know if he'll be back for the sequel, which is coming out this November. Also, I didn't know there was a, oh, there was a Zootopia TV series. I didn't know there was a series of Zootopia.
I didn't either.
That's a new one to me. I thought it was just the one movie, but yeah, Zootopia has a series, the sequel coming out this November. Anyway, I was trying to remember what the hell I saw him in, and it was probably Brooklyn Nine-Nine because he was on that for an episode. But he was Lloyd in Get Smart, the movie with Steve Carell, again mentioning Steve Carell, and he was in Get Smart's Bruce and Lloyd Out of Control. So he's one of the two tech guys in the Get Smart film. And he was on for other supernatural related things. He was on Ghost Whisperer for a couple episodes. That was Jennifer Love Hewitt's TV show.
So I find a lot of mentions of goats in reference to Albanian folklore.
Okay.
I just lost my note. There it is. In Albanian folklore, the original Zana is escorted by three wild goats who have golden horns. In northern Albania and Kosovo, every mountain is said to have its own Zana because these are, of course, referenced to be mountain fairies who appeared as a fair maiden who was found bathing naked in the mountain streams. The Zana is believed to be extremely courageous, a formidable opponent who can bestow her protection on warriors, similarly to the Pallas Athena. In Albanian, there is notable expression which means he was as brave as a Zana, and is used to refer to extremely courageous individuals. The Zana is believed to have a power to petrify humans with a glance, similarly to, of course, Medusa. And this was used in the Geg Albanian dialect for a person who has been paralyzed. There's also a story that references them very similarly to like the Greek fates.
I can see that.
Yeah, there's a lot of connections in this one. Existing folklore in other places. It's very fascinating. Is
What's the connection? Go on with it.
the connection to the Greek fates?
Yes, go into the details.
Okay. In northern Albania, the Zana are represented similarly to the Ora, and the southern Albanian, the Fati, as a group of three mythological goddesses who congregate in the night to decide a baby's destiny at birth and distribute their favors. Three types of fates are believed to exist among the inhabitants in a very specific place in Albania, where they distribute good luck and provides humans with one distributes good luck, one distributes bad luck, and casts evil spells, and the other one decides when they die. So it's pretty similar to the Greek fates.
I think the Greek fates are going to show up in the film The Odyssey coming out next year by Christopher Nolan.
That's so exciting to see that in a new movie. The
Mel,
oldest
you got to get
story.
cast in that movie.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be like the biggest thing for your career. And then you'd be like, I'm in like the biggest block, the most expensive movie ever made, because the budget on this movie, I heard, is just astronomical. And the possible length time is possibly 4 hours long.
Wow.
Either that or Nolan's going to announce that it's going to be two films. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is would
That
make
would
more
make more
sense.
sense.
That would
Yes.
make more sense. I don't think audience is going to sit through a 4 hour film. A 3 hour film? Yeah, of course. I mean, Oppenheimer, Avengers, Infinity War, there's 3 hour films in theaters. But 4 hours, I think, is stretching it beyond the comprehension of what the audience can handle. Now, if they did two films
Yes.
divided up in the same year, that would be fine too.
Yeah, that would be way better. And it would be out quicker.
Putting it out next summer, so yeah, we'll have to see if the Greek fates show up for it.
That'd be cool.
What else do we have about Zana from other cultures, or just that one?
Well, there's another story about the lover's grave, where she, the Zana appears to a young army captain named Bedri, who prostrates himself at her feet and must be reassured that she means him no harm. But on the contrary, she wants Bedri to be aware of a wooden beam or and a doe, I guess as in a deer, and that he is not safe when he is at the root. Bedri goes on to meet a very beautiful woman with whom he elopes, pursued by soldiers who know from his pronunciation of the word for wooden beam that he comes from an area with which they are at war. Bedri learns that his beloved's name is Dri, which means doe, and the soldiers capture and kill the couple outside of a town, which I'm not even going to attempt to butcher. And the town is means at the root. They are comparable with the Valkyries in the Nordic mythology and the branches of Balkan and European folklore, and that the Romanian Zina and Southern Slav Vila. So we have another connection there things being similar to the Valkyries in Nordic mythology. And I believe that's all for my notes on Zana.
I don't know if there's a way to kill them in the real world. I don't know how you would kill an imaginary friend. I don't remember how they're killed in the movie Imaginary, but in Supernatural, they're killed with a dagger with like runes or special sigils on it.
I don't know if you would ever want to kill one.
Do you think the Zanas get their clothes from the Zana clothing store?
Huh, that's a good question. I wonder where they get their clothes.
There's a Zana clothing store chain. There's one here in the mall near me, but whenever I saw that name, I always thought of the supernatural creature.
According to myth and lore, it is impossible to kill a Zana. You have to approach them respectfully and cautiously to gain their favor.
My favorite would be lots of money. I wonder if the bad children who do terrible things like kill squirrels or something get Zanas.
I would hope so, that something would, try to balance out missing and busy parents.
Maybe. Well, that's all the notes we have here on the supernatural creatures and lore for the Zana. Check us out online on the supernatural creatures and lore, or on individual Twitters and Facebook, like Radio of Horror, Radio of Horror on Twitter or Blue Sky or Instagram. Mel, where can people find you?
At Mel Heflin across the web. That's Heflin.
And we'll be back in another week or two, or next month, with another episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore here on the Radio of Horror Network.
In the shadows, you can hear the sounds, the rumble of 100 hellhounds, cries of the banshee, terror of the wendigo. You all they can't see, they just know where to go. It's the creature.